China's currency is on the verge of doing something it has never done before, breaking through a government limit for the first time ever. There was wild trading in the currency markets there yesterday, and then the country goes on a two-day holiday starting today, leaving the world with a gigantic cliffhanger for this upcoming weekend. What am I talking about? Well, it's a clash of market versus central bank, with enormous stakes hanging in the balance. But it's more than just a currency exchange rate. What's really at odds is what that rate truly represents. What is in a yuan? Well, it's not really a yuan, it's dollar. Meaning global money, global economy. And before jumping all over these latest developments and trying to figure out what they actually mean, I do want to let you know that Eurodollar University's spring sale is still ongoing. We have 1 month free for the memberships and the daily briefing. Sign up for 30 days, cancel anytime, no risk to you. We also have tremendous annual rates on both the daily briefing and the memberships, as well as some really huge savings on the deep dive analysis or a package with the DDA, the daily briefing, and the membership, all three together. That's the Eurodollar University Spring Sale. All the details at our website, eurodollar.university. Before diving into these current developments, we got to back up a little bit and get some of the details out of the way. To start with, how China's currency exchange market works, or the exchange value, onshore exchange value. The PBOC sets a daily floating range. It fixes a midpoint called the central parity, and then it allows trading to happen at 2% on either side of that daily midpoint. So they set the midpoint and the currency goes in a range during the day. If it goes too strong, then what's supposed to happen is the government comes in and they end up selling yuan and buying dollars in this case, because that's the exchange value that we're looking at, or whatever other currency is on the other side of this transaction. But it's mainly yuan versus dollar. But more importantly, especially where it comes to the last decade, whenever China's yuan gets to be too weak, then China's government is obligated to come in and buy yuan by selling dollars. But they're not actually selling dollars and buying yuan. They're actually supplying dollars into a market that's becoming increasingly scarce of them. So China sets the midpoint, but that 2% range is relatively pretty wide here. And what that means is that it's only under extreme circumstances where the onshore exchange rate is ever going to get that far and therefore trigger some kind of action. Because this is on a daily basis, a 2% move is huge. And the Chinese authorities usually set that midpoint so that this never actually happens. But what has happened over the last several years, of course, as China's yuan gets weaker and weaker and weaker, defying all the dollar doomists, they have attempted at times to influence the yuan higher by intentionally fixing that midpoint stronger at certain times. This time, current period, being one of those times. They also did this back in September of 2022, if you remember the dollar crisis back then, as well as last September and October when yuan hit its lowest level since January of 2008. So what they attempt to do is threaten to intervene in the market by fixing the yuan, the midpoint, stronger. Therefore, they leave less and less room between the exchange value in the marketplace and that 2% daily limit. And there are occasions where the exchange value, the market rate, gets really, really close to that limit. But what has happened recently, up to yesterday is the closest I have ever seen it. March 22nd, yuan made a surprising sharp move lower at the same time the yen crashed, as did the rupee hit a record low for India. But yuan went sharply lower and people are left scratching their heads. Now the media tried to sell it as, well, the PBOC fixed the midpoint on March 22nd, a tiny fraction bit weaker, and supposedly that was a signal to all the speculators out there that it was time to short the yuan, and that's what ended up happening. Well, the PBOC has since then fixed stronger, and the currency continues to drop anyway. Never take the mainstream media's explanations for these things at face value, or even do much with them at all, because they're always wrong. So the yuan has gotten weaker and weaker and weaker, And the PBOC has tried to influence that back higher by fixing the midpoint a slightly bit stronger ever since the 22nd, to the point that the weakness in the currency has gotten to right around that 2% daily limit. As I mentioned yesterday, they were almost together. The fix for April 3rd was 709.49, which is nowhere near where that market actually is. And again, that's intentional on the part of the PBOC, which meant the 2% lower limit was 723.68. And as of the closing price, from the information I have, that was 723.57. Almost right at the bottom of the range. And again, this is the closest I can ever recall those two ever being. And then today we have this festival. China's closed today and tomorrow, so we'll have to see what happens. Now, what normally happens is the PBOC backs down. Now, first it will get China's banks to get in the marketplace and do a bunch of interventions on its behalf, which means Chinese banks will be selling dollars and buying yuan, which means they're supplying dollars for yuan in the marketplace. And they have been. There was all sorts of stories and rumors and unverified reports yesterday that Chinese banks were heavy in the marketplace, especially the offshore market, where the yuan trading value is even weaker than onshore. But the Chinese banks have been in the marketplace heavily, pretty steadily, but again, especially yesterday. And it hasn't worked. So then what ends up happening is that if the commercial banks in China aren't having any success strengthening the yuan, getting it to turn around, normally in this type of situation, the PBOC will back down and relent. Actually, it would have done so before now, but normally that's what it does. Come tomorrow, which would be today if there wasn't a holiday, authorities would fix the midpoint slightly weaker to give the market exchange value a little bit more room so that it does not cross the 2% threshold. And what it raises the question, why don't authorities want that to happen? I mean, all they're obligated to do is to intervene in the marketplace. But they know, as the market knows, this is all just smoke and mirrors. What happens if they intervene in the marketplace and it doesn't have much impact? I mean, commercial banks do it all the time and it doesn't work except occasionally on a short run basis. It would confirm that authorities are indeed impotent. And so China doesn't want that to happen. So again, they tend to back down on the situation. I'll even give you an example. Just last year in September, remember when the yuan was falling really sharply, August into September? On September 5th, the PBOC set the midpoint at 717.83, which meant the 2% limit was 732.19. On that day, CNY suddenly and abruptly and apparently unexpectedly weakened from 726.06 on the 4th to 730.18. So now getting pretty close, but notice nowhere near as close as we are now, to the 2% daily limit. So while yuan was getting close to the limit the very next day on September 6th, the PBOC set the midpoint much weaker than the day before. It's 719.69 compared to 717.83 the day before. And then, of course, CNY weakened a little bit more, but it got back. So what they're really hoping to do by all of these tactics, by trying to influence the yuan stronger, is to buy some short-run time to stabilize the currency exchange value in the hopes that something will come along and be a game changer. In September of 2022, September and October 2022, amidst all of that dollar crisis and the yuan screaming lower down to what was then the lowest since 2008, authorities kept intervening. They kept fixing the yuan, the midpoint parity stronger. Commercial banks were all over the marketplace, and it kind of had a short run impact until the big game changer, at least in the short run or the intermediate term, was reopening. Now, last year, the same thing, very similar pattern played out with a few additional measures thrown in there. It wasn't reopening that turned around the currency, but it was in late October, the promise of Chinese authorities really threatening to do massive amounts of stimulus. So constant weakness in the currency markets. Constant weakness despite authorities' best efforts to search out for that game changer, all the while expending all of these resources and all of this drama trying to stabilize the currency that will not be stabilized. And that is ultimately the point here. The currency wants to go down, which screams dollar. Why do we care about China's yuan? Why is the yuan actually do what it does? Well, that's the US dollar and euro dollar system. That's the globalized network. I've said tongue-in-cheek all along that the most effective equation in all of economics, small e economics, is CNY down equals bad. When you see the Chinese yuan currency exchange value falling against the US dollar, that's always a bad sign, not just for China, but for the entire world. And we can verify this absolutely with market data and information, price behavior. CNY correlates with a whole bunch of other signals, starting with copper to gold. That's one I've been using a lot lately because it's an effective signal. It's a very intuitive signal too. When the copper to gold ratio is going down, that means more people want gold, less people are using copper, so problems in the real economy, and hedging against those problems, gold goes up, so copper to gold goes down. It's a deflationary signal. It's a bad time signal. So copper to gold ratio corresponds very closely to CNY. And since CNY corresponds to copper to gold, that means it also corresponds and correlates pretty strongly with US dollar interest rate swap spreads, as well as the US Treasury yield curve shape. That means as copper to gold is going down, we usually see the US Treasury yield curve getting flatter or inverting at the same time as both of those swap spreads are compressing, becoming even more negative. And China's yuan is falling in exchange value. CNY down equals all of these other negative signals across the global euro-dollar marketplace. And we can see this throughout history. From euro-dollar number 3 forward, as you can see here, the copper-to-gold ratio and the Chinese yuan exchange value with the dollar are almost in lockstep. The code movement here is incredibly strong. Starting in late 2012, there's the reflationary trade where the copper to gold ratio is rising, which is consistent with reflation and better, relatively better economic prospects. And CNY is going up against the dollar. It's becoming stronger. In fact, that was what everybody believed for the longest time, that China's yuan was going to go up forever. But and the final day of 2013, just like the yield curve and the U.S. Treasury market, just like the copper to gold ratio, which peaked, China's yuan hit its strongest value at the end of 2013. And then everything changed starting in 2014, which we call Eurodollar number 3. And in addition, we have RRR cuts through 2015 into 2016. And this strong relationship kept up in 2017, globally synchronized growth. Again, the copper to gold ratio rising, relatively better prospects around the global economy. CNY is rising against the US dollar because when the US dollar is falling, that means, generally speaking, there's more dollars around the world. The dealers that are responsible for circulating dollars around the world are becoming more likely to take risk, less risk averse. But then it all started to change, really, for copper to gold in December of 2017 and China's yuan in January of 2018. Yuan stopped rising in January, the copper to gold ratio in December 2007. And then CNY started falling in April of 2018 with so many other currencies. Remember, Reserve Bank of India Governor Urjit Patel writing in the Financial Times about how dollar funding had evaporated during this period. Well, the copper to gold ratio was actually about to decline just a couple weeks after Urjit Patel wrote that in the Financial Times, as well as the Eurodollar futures curve, which inverted in June of 2018. And there were RRR cuts starting in April 2018. And just to be clear, these RRR cuts are not interest rate cuts. They're cuts in the amount of reserves that banks have to use in China or banks have to hold in China. So an RRR cut, again, isn't an interest rate cut, which means that the only correlation it has with the China's yuan is that it signals, both of them signal weakness and prospects for more moving forward. And obviously in the most recent period, China's yuan has been weak since March of 2022. That's not rate hikes. That's the global economy facing the huge oil supply shock, as well as prospects of the just general supply shocks downside starting to build from there. So China's yuan has been weaker ever since March of 2022. They've done RRR cuts. We've seen the yield curve flatten and invert. Swap spreads have massively compressed. All of these signals have happened together. But what you'll hear in the mainstream media is that this is all about interest rates, especially policy rates, central banks, because we're supposed to believe that central banks are at root of everything that happens everywhere all the time. But as China's government is seeking to cut their interest rates, like the loan prime rate that they dropped by a record amount in February, it's not as if the Federal Reserve is still hiking rates. In fact, everybody knows the Fed is going to be cutting. So the mainstream explanation is now, well, the market is now pricing in a later cut or maybe fewer cuts from the Federal Reserve, and that must be the reason why China's yuan or Japan's yen is falling. But over in Japan, the Bank of Japan is actually raising rates, which should be yen positive. Yet the yen continues to get weaker. Just a couple days ago, in fact, just yesterday, an article in Japan Times that interviewed Tetsuo Yamasaki, who was the former vice finance minister for international affairs, basically the guy who would have been in charge of interventions. What the article said was, despite the decision by the Bank of Japan last month to raise interest rates for the first time since 2007, the yen remains under pressure. Yeah, no kidding. With the BOJ having acted and the U.S. expected to cut rates at some point, because we all know it's going to happen, the authorities strongly believed that the fall in the yen would reverse, the former foreign exchange chief said. And it didn't reverse because it's not about interest rate differentials or central bank policies. When CNY is going down, that is a bad sign. It has nothing to do with central banks, except that it reflects how bad central banks are at the jobs that they're supposed to be doing. So CNY falling recently to the point yesterday, it's very close to the 2% daily limit. That's more like the ISM's non-manufacturing number than the ISM's manufacturing that you heard all about earlier this week. The ISM manufacturing says the economy may be picking up and things look okay, soft landing. The ISM's non-manufacturing, as I discussed in the video yesterday, not looking so good at all. This is a global problem. CNY down is not just about China. But China has an enormous number of its own issues. In fact, just yesterday or just this week, it was reported that the value of new homes sold in China for the month of March, which is supposed to be a good month, had fallen by 46% from the year before. Now, there's some base effects in that, but it just goes to show China has a still massive and unchecked real estate problem that is getting worse and worse and worse. And the economy, despite all of the glowing assessments about the NBS PMI numbers and recent economic statistics, is not in good shape either. So China is a ball of risks, and it would make sense that the currency would get weaker and weaker as Eurodollar providers look at China and say, yeah, there's too much risk here. But the real danger is that risk spills over more broadly, as we see in Japan's yen. Why didn't the Bank of Japan's rate hike actually strengthen the yen and get it to go back the other way, especially with the Fed cutting rates? Because it's not about either one of those central banks. So in the near term, we have to figure out, and we're going to find out, how this CNY versus the 2% daily limit ends up being resolved. Will the PBOC on Monday, meaning Sunday night here in America, will they relent and back down like they have in the past? Will they force the issue? Will CNY go further? A whole bunch of stuff to look forward to on Monday with enormous stakes hanging in the balance. Because if CNY continues to go down, as it seems to want to, going so far as to maybe even break through that limit, CNY down equals bad. If you want to go back and look through the relationship between copper to gold and the U.S. Treasury yield curve, which would be handy right about now, that's the video I've got linked below. As always, thank you very much for joining me. Eurodollar University Spring Sale, check that out, still ongoing. Thank you very much to all you members and subscribers, especially you new ones. And until next time, take care.